The drive is live. And this text line now. This 5 hour energy fan line. 5 hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Every time we gotta say this text line, boy, that is built for me to mess up.
Hey, they better pay double.
That is built for me to blow that.
That better came with a little extra bread right there. That tagline.
I didn't hear the horns blowing and the mad dog pouring coming into this one, man.
Oh, it's coming.
Come on, Chief.
It's coming.
Come on, Chief. Ron was nervous about that read right there.
The length of it, man. You got your 12 word in a text line.
Hold on, Joe.
Sponsor, baby. There you go.
I'm looking for the product. Where's the 5 hour energy product?
They're right behind you, baby.
I mean, are those for the taking or what? Can we have one? I mean, what we got to do? Can we have one?
Stay in the fan. It's sugar free.
Let me get a taste of that right there.
Oh, I'll take one.
I know you.
Stay in the fan. Let me see what they're talking about. What flavor are they talking about?
Hey, it's for all those fans out there, baby.
Yeah,
for all those fans out there.
Hey, I mean,
you don't need a real one.
I'm
gonna pop it up.
Well, damn, they sure enough seal this thing. I tell you what, I ain't Tyler or nothing. I ain't trying to blow my. I ain't trying to just do 800 of these things.
Yeah, let's see.
But I tell you what, I have kept them in business.
That fan fuel.
I bought my fair share.
Stay in the fan, baby.
Ooh, that's got a good scent to it. Stan, you all right? Stan the fan.
They created it for the fans.
You're a Texan fan today, son.
Oh, yeah. They created that thing. Go ahead and get you one. Get you a new flavor. It's a new flavor for the fan.
Yeah, that's got a good taste to it.
Football super fan.
That's got a good taste to it.
We see you.
I don't know what that is, though.
Uh-oh. We see you in there.
What do you think that is? Did you try it?
I haven't tried it.
Tyler, try that and tell me what flavor you think Stan actually is. It's the first man I've ever tried his flavor, but Stan the fan. I'm not real sure what that flavor is, but it's good, tasty. And always, 5 Hour Energy will get me that energy pop that I need.
They'll get it for you. But thank you, Stan the man. It is a Reaction Monday, as you see Tyler. Little 1 week off, but he has his Victory Monday shirt on.
He's had a long weekend. You guys got a lot on his mind or something.
Why that?
Or he lost some bets or something. You been betting the Yankees or something?
Hell no. I'm good. I'm fired up. Aggies win. Texans win. Victory Monday. Mad Dog Monday.
You know, that's a damn
LFG.
That is a damn good point. You got Texans and the Aggies. I mean, that's the biggest win since Johnny Manziel beat Saban in Alabama.
For the record. You ain't lying.
Is it?
Absolutely. They've been waiting on that damn win for 100 years. Are you kidding me?
That was really a big one.
They went to the Orange Bowl.
And Elko
they won the Orange Bowl.
I don't give a damn.
They won the Orange Bowl.
The Orange Bowl, all of a sudden bowl games are big now?
I'm just saying. It's the biggest bowl game they've ever
that
won.
That is the biggest win since Johnny Manziel put
713-572-4610. Is that the biggest win? Who else did they beat that year?
It don't matter.
They won one game. They lost one game.
It don't matter.
They were the five. They were the number five team in the country. They won an orange ring. They got rings.
It don't matter. That was the biggest win since Johnny Manziel beat Saban.
It's a big one. That was a huge win at Kyle Field Saturday night.
I'll take it from A&M fans.
I've been very, very, very.
They're in the driver's seat.
I've been very invested in this A&M program since Jimbo got the gig.
I mean, the blatant.
Really before that with the SEC Network with my man up there, with Kev up there, with Sammy up there. But I've paid as close attention to A&M program as I have the damn Arkansas program. That's the biggest win. That was huge, Tyler.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And then Elko put his hog on the table after
the press conference. Started recruiting.
I love Elko.
Did you hear him in the press game?
He just started recruiting.
Did you hear him?
I heard.
No, you didn't hear him. You'd be good and turned on over there. You didn't hear him, did you?
I must didn't hear that.
My man said this is a real program. This isn't some politician up here talking fast and what did he say?
it was definitely a shot at old Jimbo.
I didn't hear him say that.
I'm talking about, and it was no doubt. Who he was talking about? Anyway, yeah, that was big, man. Woo, boy, Tyler, I don't know how you ain't good and turned on today. That's where I was going with this, Ron.
Biggest regular season win. Someone texted.
Well, you ain't been nowhere in the postseason. What the hell?
They won an Orange Bowl. The disrespect that Kellen Mond gets around this city and on this show.
I mean, we're wanting playoffs, ridiculous. So we're wanting
we
playoffs.
You know what? We beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl my senior year. Beat the hell out of them. Big win.
Huge.
It pales in comparison to when we beat Tennessee when they were number one in the country in the regular season. Pales in comparison. I'm just talking about, I'm talking about for the program itself.
I would say, Clint, if you weren't on the team, I would disagree with you.
No. I'm talking about for the program itself, Ron. This fan base has been just jonesing.
We've been through it, man.
Jonesing for a victory that you can sink your teeth into and say, we're back. We're here. The Aggies are for real in the SEC. They're for real in the college ball playoff race down the hunt here. They're leading they're undefeated in SEC play.
Only one, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. That's how big that game was.
People are texting in the home game against LSU.
No.
The overtime game.
Hell no.
How was that, that one?
That was a good game. Are you kidding me?
Just tell you. There was way more on the line
for this
one.
When was the last time there was an opportunity? When was the last time there was an opportunity, boys? Where Georgia wasn't undefeated, wasn't the conversation. Alabama wasn't undefeated, was in the conversation. And A&M beats LSU to be the only undefeated team in the SEC. It's few and far between. And here we are.
Since the war.
Here we are. And really, now back to that schedule y'all got. You don't have Alabama or Georgia on the schedule. Hell, you wish you had Alabama on the schedule right now, given what they're doing. But you have Alabama or Georgia. I'm telling you, man. This thing is shaping up. That was big. And not only that, the statement and the way in which they won that game, Tyler, was unbelievably convincing. That was big boy SEC football. There's not but about five or six programs that I've seen that out of in my time.
Third biggest win.
Feel like I just went to the men's clinic because
Y'all are crazy, man. Third biggest win.
Y'all are crazy.
No, I'm hyped, dude. They're in the driver's seat. The Aggies are in the driver's seat
this
right
Mad
now.
This Mad Dog 2020
Cheers.
Goes to the Texans and the Aggies.
This is to the Texans. Woo! They're 6-2. I'm sorry. And this one to me is for you, Kelamon. The disrespect that you get.
People just act
like your season didn't exist.
It existed, and we love what you did for us here, Kellen, but we're on to bigger and better things.
Kellen was big. That was blasé, relatively speaking.
We're trying to get in this 12-team playoff, son.
Go year one.
Let's go.
What is that? Is that 8-1?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Freaking was it 8-1?
Sean's.
I thought it was 7.
Freaking Irish.
8-1, and with the exception of the quarterback position.
I don't think y'all played 9 games. I think it's 7-1.
Is it 7 or 8? We've had a bye week. So
All I know
it's week 9 in college football. It's week, so it's 7-1. So y'all have had a bye too?
Yeah, we've won 7 in a row, and we've had the bye.
Woo!
7 in a row. And they should. We'll get to A&M a little bit later.
They should
be favored in the rest of their games, including
where
the
I was
one
going with that is why ain't he in here with the. Why ain't his. There's a glimmer in his eye, and he's half turned on in there. He's been moping around for damn 2 hours.
He doesn't believe.
Texans won. Aggies.
He doesn't quite. He feels like the other shoe's
going to
drop.
Free 5-hour energy, stand the man staring you in the damn
you know
face.
What
else
you know
need?
What I think it is? By the way, he lost. Barely lost. Lost the Mad Dog player picks. He had Stephon Diggs. Tank Dell slid in with that touchdown. The only thing that was a saving grace. as Will was dominant, but he drops. We're all in a 4-2 tie right now, to be honest with you now with that turn of events, and I am clearly in the driver's seat because I have more guys to use.
Do you?
I
feel like I use Steph Diggs the right way.
You did. I'm just saying you got to be done with Steph.
There's a good chance Steph is done. I don't know if you heard.
I don't believe
it.
By the way, do you have D'Amico? D'Amico, and look, D'Amico Ryan spoke. You heard it just a bit ago on In the Loop, and of course, as you know, D'Amico, he's gonna be straight up with you, and he's gonna give you everything you need to know. And this is what he had to say when he was asked about the latest on his number one, arguably number one free agent pickup, Stephon Diggs.
For Diggs, we're still evaluating, see where he is.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. That's a full
that's all
cut.
We got?
Thought he might.
That's
thought he
full
might
cut.
For Diggs, we're still evaluating, see where he is.
Yep, that's it.
For some reason in my mind, I thought he was going to get up there like Coach Herman Boone from remember the Titans when they lost Gary Bertier. You can't replace Gary Bertier. You just can't. Gary Bertier, heart and soul of this team. You can't replace Gary Bertier. But we'll do the best that we can. But that's all I said. Just still evaluate. But still evaluate. And you may have used him the right way. But that is the latest. That will be something, Clint. We are going to be following today, tomorrow. That he never returned back in the game. And you know, as I know, Clint, the non-contact are the scary ones where no one touches you and you just go down. Those are the ones that are concerning. But that's one we're going to be keeping our eye on and watching the rest of the way. All right, Clint, we know that you are out right now at this point on, hey, Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl contender with the Texans. We established that last week. They need to do something against credible team for you to get there.
I mean,
I'm just saying a credible team for you to get there.
Yeah,
but I don't think the Colts would be that. But they're now 6-2.
The Colts or the performance? Let's be completely honest.
I was going to say, well, let's jump into that, and the people can jump in on the text line, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans text line, and those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Clint, where are you at now? How are you feeling about the Texans? I'll be honest with you, the AFC, the Ravens, has some sort of crazy loss yesterday to Jameis Winston and the Browns, and the Jets, they go down to the Patriots, your next opponent. How are you feeling? Of course, the Chiefs are 7-0 as they beat the Raiders, but how are you feeling about the Texans now in the AFC?
Yeah, look, I've got no movement. I've got Kansas City and Baltimore, two teams that I believe have earned the right to, one, to Kansas City maybe not playing their best ball all year long, but they are undefeated. That's self-explanatory. And then Baltimore, who's sitting at 5-3, so the record's not as good. They have slipped up a little bit. They did get a little bit of a slow start, if I remember correctly. But Baltimore is just a different animal for me right now with what they bring to the table on both sides of the football. But I've got Kansas City and Baltimore, and there's a good size gap between the tier two teams.
Even
tier
with the Baltimore loss yesterday?
Yes. Yep. Uh-huh. There's a nice size gap between those being the tier one teams in the AFC and the tier two teams in the AFC. Now, I do think the Texans fit squarely in there with Buffalo and Pittsburgh. And I think those are your three tier two teams for me right now. If I'm really getting picky, those are my three tier two teams in the AFC. And I think the Texans are right there with those two teams. Even though I think we've probably seen better football from those two teams all year long than we had the Texans. Hard to argue the head-to-head with Buffalo. Yeah, obviously, winning that game, I can't put Buffalo ahead of the Texans.
Now, but different when you add Amari Cooper.
Well, yeah, and you can go back and watch some of the games before the Texans game, and they played some really, really good football. Now, again, the head-to-head matchup, I can't put Buffalo ahead of them, but I can damn sure put them in the same tiers. So, and Pittsburgh with Russ at the helm, the small sample size like we've seen was impressive. Now
he's got the Giants tonight. If he keeps playing like that, yeah, I'm with you.
I got him tier two in the AFC, Rod.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I almost think the Chiefs may be in a tier of their own.
Baltimore loss hit you a little bit, huh?
Well, I mean, it's just the second one. It's they lost to the Raiders. they lost to the Raiders and the Browns. And I don't know. And the Chiefs beat them. And we'll see, and we'll see how Hopkins gets involved with that team there. But I don't know how you all feel, and I'm just going to be honest. I've long stopped with the battle in my mind. I felt worse about the Texans after they won that game yesterday than I did when they lost last.
Yeah, you were pretty positive after the Green Bay game.
Well, I thought Green Bay on the road, which I think Green Bay is a legit good football team. Hell, they were able to finish off the Jags, and Love got hurt again, and they finished the game with their backup, who we don't know if he could throw or not. But then he comes up with a huge throw to get them in position to win the game. But I feel like Green Bay's a really good football team. I'd say at the very least a borderline Super Bowl contender in the NFC. I can easily see them in the NFC Championship game. They were almost there last year, and they've gotten better. But that was a really good football team on the road, and you were handcuffed even more than you were yesterday. You didn't have Kamari Laster in that game. You didn't have the ability to go to Devin White in that game. And they fought, and they stayed with it, and, you know, they lost at the buzzer. Clint, the Indianapolis Colts, they're not a good football team.
Mm-mm, not at all.
I mean, I'm not saying they're the Panthers, but they feel like, you know, the Cardinals. They feel like teams like that. They're the Jags. They're all right. They're all right, but they're not a good football team. And not only are they not a good football team, like I could sit and say, boy, this was a tight one, Clint, because Anthony Richardson just found a day where he put it together, Clint, and just did the scary things. Oh man, my man was 10 for 32.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just missing multiple receivers. Not only the deep ones streaking down the field open, but he's missing just easy throws to Josh Downs and to his tight ends that would be, you know, 10 to 15 yard pickups, and who knows if, you know, they break a tackle. He was just terrible. Shane Steichen, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I mean, he comes out the first six plays of the game are throws. throws. The first 11 plays were 9 throws and 2 carries to Jonathan Taylor. I don't know what he was doing. But so to me, that was a bit alarming. That was different. That's not a good football team. And you were at home coming off of last week's debacle, which it felt like that's how people around here took the Green Bay game as a debacle. And you felt like this would be one. They would come out after hearing all the stuff they heard all week. We know they heard it because CJ brought it up on Wednesday. Like, and then you came out and it looked like that. So I don't know, man. That was a little different look when you
can't protect against the Indianapolis Colts, can't protect a quarterback. That was a painful watch. The plan, relatively speaking, was a painful watch. Two different occasions. Ron. I think my needle's not moved because it's exactly how I felt after the Green Bay game. Like, this is not.
It's not moved because of a worse team, like a worse.
This is exactly what I expected. I knew the problem was dire up front. That's not a we're close. That's not a quick fix. Hey, everything's fine. We'll fix it. That's not what that is. It's not a we'll bench Kenyon Green and fix it either, boys.
I don't know, man. Hey, they're 6-2, and it's better to be 6-2. With some of these issues, but it is hard to not look at it and like for me, like I ain't gonna lie to you. I said it. You said you thought it was gonna look like this. I thought we would see a real bounce back performance offensively. And I think they were helped by Anthony Richardson's stupidity to change the play at the end of the half and throw a pick to to Jalen Petrie that really set the game. I think they were, I mean, my man tapped out of the game because he got tired. Like, I just
a lot
like,
of running in that series, man.
For me, the Green Bay game was like, boy, they really hung in there, man. And they played against, and Jordan Love was playing ball pretty well. They played yesterday. It was like they're in a dogfight, and they just had so many things that the Colts just did to themselves that helped you win. All right, let's get to one of the big stories here, and we'll let you hear the coach D'Amico Ryans talk about Kenyon Green. But obviously, Kenyon Green was set down but had to come right back in because of injury. Do you think this that the Texans should be done with Kenyon Green as a starter this year? Do you think that should be finished, him as a starter? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Reaction Monday. Someone here said I was just logged into Twitch and I'm blindsided by Ron's blonde bandit. This thing's been blind for a minute.
I mean, it's been a minute. You've been a minute.
Hell,
since
thanks for staying with us.
Thank you. Internet been down? Good. We can relate. We can relate.
Yeah, we can relate right now. Out here, flying blind right here, baby. Flying blind.
I'm telling you, man, it looks good on you, bub.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at the Kenyon Green situation because now there's some people texting in. You know, there you goes. You guys are so negative. Okay. All right.
Well, then buckle up because I don't have a lot of good things to say about Kenyon Green this segment.
I wonder how we can positively spin this for some of you
And he's an Aggie, dude.
Some of you guys, Clint, we looked at it. Clearly, there was a plan. Clearly, we found out who the guy was that was having the confusions with this. Because not only did we see it on the field, but Buddy got three series. Clint, and he was gone.
Where's your damn head at, dude?
And then they score a touchdown, and on the touchdown run, Jarrett Patterson finds himself in concussion protocol. I'd imagine he's not going to be ready to go by Thursday, Clint. If he's in concussion protocol, he'd miss the rest of that game. But then they had to bring Kenyon Green right back in. And we were up in the press box looking down, and we were thinking, does Kendrick Green get in before Kenyon Green? Yeah. Is there somebody, like, are they, like, as if it's that bad, it just looked like pure confusion. But they went with Kenyon Green, and I guess my thought to you and the folks is, should they be done with Kenyon Green starting right now, unless there is just a rash of injuries and you got no choice? Like, I think Kenyon Green should probably start before moving Titus to guard. But do you think they should be potentially done with Kenyon Green as a starter this year?
Oh man, that's a tougher question than one might think. Your options at guard are obviously limited. I mean, what they did Sunday was a knee jerk reaction, emergency. We've got to do something because Kenyon Green's getting his ass whooped by DeForest Buckner.
He's just so confused.
And Grover but him being confused, because everybody across this offensive line has been confused over the last couple of weeks. And Kenyon cannot be. There's no way his communication that all of that is dependent on Kenyon Green's ability or inability to communicate. Now, I think this was in the moment. We don't have an answer for DeForest Buckner. No matter what we do, he's getting his ass whooped. So let's try somebody else. And Patterson for one series fared a little bit better. But the reality of it is, Patterson's is too light an ass to be a guard. He's a center. So that what we saw Sunday.
You don't think that's sustainable?
That's not the answer. No, it's not. I mean, now
a lot of people think it was.
No, it was for a series. And the fact that they went out there and had some success is going to lead people to believe that could be the answer, even if it's a week from now when Patterson gets back. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. If Patterson being in a lineup is the answer, Patterson is at center and Juice Scruggs goes to left guard. The only problem with that, because that, to me, that would solve more of your communication issue than just replacing Kenyon Green. The problem with that is Juice has struggled at center, not quite the way that I bet he's struggled as much as Kenyon Green. It just hasn't looked as like Kenyon when he's struggling. It is bad. I mean, he's chasing guys around the top of Laramie Tunsil. I mean, he's getting turned sideways immediately. But let's be honest. I mean, Juice has had a rough time the last few weeks as well. And so, back to the question, though. If you're going to bench Kenyon Green, Jarrett Patterson's not the long-term answer. If you're going to bench Kenyon Green, it's...
Is there an answer?
Juice Scruggs to guard, Patterson to center.
Is Kendrick Green a better option?
No, neither are. Now, better option, I'm not privy to the information of like how lost Kenyon Green is. Like, is this a communication issue from the mouthpiece, or is there a break in the line somewhere? Is the center making a call and Laramie's out there waiting on Kenyon to give him a day? Are we going to fan this thing? Are you going to kick out to that rush end, or are you going to come down here and help me with this D tackle? And Kenyon's, there's a break in that line of communication right there with Kenyon. It appears to me that that's a much broader communication issue. This thing isn't just a Kenyon Green problem. But if you're going to bench Kenyon Green, and it's going to be so we can have better communication and we at least know who we have, and now we have a better chance of picking it up, Jarrett Patterson at center is the answer, not at guard.
Yeah, to me, I was almost surprised they put him right back in. Because to me, yeah, I think he has physically gotten beat on some occasions, just like you said with Juice. Because Grover on one run play I can remember particularly just drove through Juice Scruggs to cause like a 3 or 4 yard loss. But to me, it just looks like in his mind, in Kenyon Green's mind, is confusion. Like, in my mind, I feel like Kenyon walks up to the line of scrimmage, and he's like this.
Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. There's 90 in front of me. No. He's shaded over.
Fast.
Okay. It's a 44. 44 is me. Okay. If 90 goes over here, all right, I'm gonna help Laramie over here. Oh God. But what if they twist? They stunt. All right.
Yeah.
It feels like that's what's going on to him every time he walks, and then he doesn't. Oh God. Do I get? Oh, let me help. And then all of a sudden he ends up helping. The one thing Laramie doesn't need help with is the pass rush from 50 whoever.
Right.
Not for you to come over. Yeah. And then he just immediately rushes over, and it's just like he has said 27 things in his head.
Yeah.
In between the clap from break to walk to the line. I mean, he seems like his anxiety has to be up.
Yeah.
He seems like he is anxious. And I mean, it is that's to me. I'm like, man, hey, you know, he's just going. He's got too much stuff in his head where to go.
If you had another guard, like true guard, which a Broker maybe, is it Broker? Is that the kid's name?
Broker.
He may be the answer at guard. But the bigger thing here, question at hand is it's not Patterson.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back with our 5-hour energy high. Energy play of the game, as well as some things around the league, including was that really on the Bears, or did Washington just make an amazing play? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Team Stroud under center. Handoff Nixon. Starts right, cuts left. 10, 5. Nixon still going. Takes out a defender and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Nixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Nixon with a grown man run. Get off me. What a run by Joe Mixon. I am a fan.
Yeah, if you weren't a fan of that run, I don't know what to. I don't care if you're rooting for him or not. If you ain't a fan of that run, I don't know. Boy, he did not get touched, he would not go down. Sean Pendergast, we were up there. He said, "Look at him. He is a beast. He's still standing up in the end zone."
Wow.
Yeah, there's Joe Mixon, who had another big impact in this game. Didn't get quite to 100.
He did. He ended up getting over it.
Did he get over it?
They took the you know that when they tossed it and fumbled it. They subtracted that 7 yards off of it. Well, they took that off and ended up giving it to CJ. Said he never possessed the ball, so he got his 7 yards back. So he actually went for 102. So he did.
Joe Mixon,
and he got it back then. Yeah, because I did see.
They took it away. I same thing when Sean said it last night. I was like, what he did? Because I was hoping he'd get to 100 again to make it every game that he started and finished with the Texans. So far, he's over 100. But I didn't realize that either until Pendergast told me last night about midway through the damn post-game show.
Yeah, so good for him, man. That was our 5-hour energy, high-energy play of the game. And 5-hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans.
Can I give you a couple of honorable mentions here? A couple of honorable mention 5-hour energy, sure. High-energy plays of the game?
Yeah.
The Jalen Petrie pick. It's even better now that we know that Anthony Richardson decided to go against his coach's will and throw the ball instead of just run the call that was played, or the play that was called.
Did you hear that,
which
Tyler?
Was a run. Tyler, did you hear this?
Anthony Richardson, he changed that play.
Yeah.
That was a rough post-game presser for Anthony Richardson. He changed the play and decided to throw it, and throws a pick and gives away 7 points in a game that you lost by 3. And literally, that's a situation where you gave away 7 points because – there's no, well, you never know how the game would have unfolded otherwise. No, the half ended. Like, that. There was no more.
They were having the ball.
Yeah, there was nothing else that could happen. You gave them 7 points. And to come out and say that you changed that play, and then also, I've never seen a quarterback tap his helmet and come out of the game because he's tired. I don't know how. By the way, Shane Steichen, for the Colts fans out there, anybody that gives a rip, hell, as Texans fans, you probably care because you caused this. But your team caused this. But Shane Steichen has announced that everything is being evaluated, including the starting quarterback position. So they may make we may have ran Anthony Richardson smooth up out of a starting quarterback spot.
Like at that point, like because if you remember, it goes 7 yard carry at the end of the half by Jonathan Taylor, and then he drops back and throws what like a hitch or something that Kamari Lassiter was not.
If he throws it accurately, Kamari Lassiter would have picked it.
And going in. And you're imagining that, because we were sitting up there, Shane, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You would imagine he just said, hey, man, let's call a run here. Let's roll out here. Is there at some point you're like this is not one you can change? Like
it's called a run it play, but there's clearly.
Because also it happened later with the Texans with CJ, with CJ, where he
looked like he pulled it and threw the screen.
No, he did. Yeah, John Harris said he did. He said he changed. He looked up there and saw the box, changed it, and threw the screen.
Yeah, pulled it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Look, I think here's the deal. I have no problem with CJ doing it. I trust CJ.
Especially at that
right
point
in
the line,
like the
of the game.
The problem with Anthony Richardson at this point is there's no method to the madness. Like there should be a very clear, and maybe look, I've never coached. I've been on the other end of it. And I've had some, I had Joe Ferguson, who played 19 years in the NFL, and I had Wade Wilson, who played over 19 years in the league. The two most tenured quarterbacks in the league at the time, I think. And so maybe those two guys were just over-preparers. But, like, I never took the field run, like, in a drive. Like, I never took the field without a really good idea of, hey, man, we're backed up here. We're going to run this thing on first down.
That's the hook,
you know, nothing funny here. I never took the field without a really good grasp on what the coaches wanted, whether it was right or wrong, what the coaches wanted. Like that was just egregious, man. This is where Shane Steichen's a better coach than me, than I ever, a better person. Hell,
you would have pulled him.
I would have pulled him, absolutely. 100%, I'd have pulled him. But right now, today, like, it wouldn't have took Anthony Richardson telling everybody that you changed the play. Like, if somebody had, like,
yeah, you'd have came right out.
Oh,
there.
We're talking about, like, that's a fire. Like, if you're the owner and you see that, I'm firing you. If you're the head coach, I'm firing you. What are you doing? You're giving away points. Are you kidding me? Like that is egregious. In those kind of situations, when players do stupid stuff like that, I would have no problem saying, hey, like, man.
There's a true argument that sequence cost the Colts to be tied for first place today.
Yeah. Ryan, you can go back to the last scramble that you and I were talking about. When I said we sat right there and said, man, one throw, one scramble could change this thing in the field goal range and be a tie ball game. We got bonus football, right? He goes out there and scrambles, and instead of stepping out of bounds, he dives back inside to go get another 4 yards. Clock keeps running. Like, he clearly is not – it's not just a Kenny process and how they're using him in the offense. There's clearly a total disconnect with him and what they're doing offensively. But that interception with Jalen Petrie's one being talked about, that could very easily be our five-hour energy, high-energy play of the game. Also, this one's not being talked about. I think this is huge. The opening kickoff that Damian Pierce took back to damn near midfield.
Yeah, huge.
Coming out of a game where you couldn't protect your quarterback, your offense stunk, and now you're in a position where, now I don't like the decision.
I was
going
to say, you won the coin toss, and you chose to.
You chose to take the football.
He said he wanted to get the ball in CJ's hands early.
Which I didn't like that either. And then you go out there, you get a good return, and you throw the football 12 of the first 16 snaps. To the point where you get your left guard ends up getting benched. But I don't like what they did offensively, but that return to start the game in a game that was as big as this one, that was a big time play. Not as big as a turnover, not as impressive as a Joe Mixon touchdown, but that could have been on the short list of plays of the game as well.
Yeah, I think those definitely could be. If we were in Washington, I think we'd know what would be the 5 hour energy, high energy play of the
yes,
game.
Yes.
That play is being talked about so much and for so many reasons. And I obviously Tyreek Stevenson has, I mean, he had one of the dumbest and he has since, if you missed it, right before the snap, he's the deep guy in the end zone
and he is full-fledged back turned to the play, just going back and forth talking trash with fans, and the play has started. My man, my man Jason Goff, who's done a lot of radio in Chicago and does stuff for the Ringer, he just has a photo of him with his back and Daniels.
Yeah, like going did you back see the forth. Actual video that somebody?
Yes,
somebody posted?
I've seen it.
I mean, he's staring at the sideline. He's talking to people that are in the stands on about the 10-yard line with his back to the entire field.
But to his in his defense, he got there.
Yeah, he tipped the ball. He tipped the ball to Washington.
He got there in time.
Noah Brown.
But he tipped it to Noah Brown. I heard Rex Ryan today on Get Up was about to have. I've been there before. He was about to have a heart attack damn near. On this thing about how the Bears screwed this up from a coaching perspective and a preparation perspective. I don't know, man. I watched it. Even though Stevenson was doing that silliness, and as I said, he apologized. He said to Chicago and my teammates, my apologies for the lack of awareness and focus this game. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. But I still looked at it, Clinton, just thought, man, this was just some luck. And, like, Washington just, like, I mean, Noah Brown happened to be in the right spot at the right time.
Well,
like,
no, they're coached. I mean, they're coached offensively be in a certain position. They're coached offensively. Nobody's trying to catch the football in the scrum. They're coached to tip it if it's not in the end zone. And defensive players are coached to box out to some degree. And I don't know what his job was. I'm going to assume it wasn't jump and high point and tip the ball to the receiver.
Well, what's his name? What's the coach's name? Used to be the Colts defensive coordinator.
I know you're talking about. Joins McAfee sometimes.
Oh, God.
He was the head coach, wasn't he?
He's the head coach.
Yeah.
No, he was the D coordinator. He's the head coach right now. He's the Colts coach. What's his name? What is the Colts head coach? It's a bad name.
Right now?
Chuck.
It's Shane Steichen.
I'm not the Colts. I'm sorry. The Bears.
Eberflus.
Eberflus, yeah.
Okay, gotcha, Yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
Eberflus walked up there. He was saying, no, yeah. I think he said Stevenson's supposed to be the one guy to knock it down.
Right.
But he just tipped it. And I still, even though he was doing that silliness, like to me it was more of a man watching and just, you know, we're in right position, but it was a hell of a play made.
Yeah.
Like I don't think if Stevenson did that 10 more times
that they'd catch it.
That they would catch it in some way. And it was just,
I tell you what, it's a bad look when it happens.
Guess
what your boy was doing right before he fumbled against Tennessee?
What?
Talking trash to people in the stands.
Oh, that's fine.
I'll never do it again till it is completely over.
I don't know if you got any stands to talk any trash to people.
That's a good point. That's why I'll put it to you this way. At that moment, forward, I told myself I would never do it again. I still had a little bit of football left to play.
Sports career.
Yeah, I wish maybe if I had some stands to talk trash to, I would.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we do it every Monday. What was your grade for C.J. Stroud? 25 of 37, 285, one touchdown, no turnovers in this game. What's your grade for C.J. Stroud? We'll discuss that next.